are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Persons who receive the grace and the mercy of God, and we receive it day after day, and God is the one who is always providing for us, whether we deserve it or not. And that's what the morning message is getting ready to share. So I want to ask you now to join me in a moment of prayer as we position our hearts toward the Lord and ask Him to open us up for the truth as He would give it. Father, thank You for this round of blessing as You have been with us through another week's journey from our last gathering to this very moment. And we can't help but to express thanksgiving. We've been with those, Lord, whose hearts have been torn. And yet we know, though, that it's just Your grace and Your mercy that it wasn't our heart that was torn this time. And God, we pray for those who are hurting and broken. Pray for those, Lord, who are in bereavement and in sorrow. And we thank You for those who are joining us today in all of the various mediums that they might watch this program with. And I pray, God, now that You will come, as we come to Your word, You will lift Your human again out of self. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us in this moment of sharing, and bless this word. Let none of us escape. Speak it, Lord, so true and so deep. Speak it so clear that Your word becomes truth that will guide us, and that we can give You praise because of what You do. Thank You in advance for what You're going to say today. Bless now the words in our mouth and the meditations on our heart, that it may be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it now in the name of Your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Music is such a powerful medium. Let's give our musicians a round of applause. Thank each one of you. Last time we finished the series we were in on Galatians, and so today we're going to preach kind of a standalone message. I'm excited about it and been thinking about this subject for a couple of weeks, and starting in the new month, we're going to begin a new series, an attraction series starting September. But this week we're going to give this standalone, and next week we have another surprise for you. Amen. So 2 Samuel, Old Testament book, 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 13, and we'll draw from the context. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And that was of the house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I might show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame in his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto him, to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all of the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And when he bowed himself, he said, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning from the subject, dropped but not forgotten. Dropped but not forgotten. The truth is, all of us can identify with that, because every one of us at some point have been dropped. I personally was dropped a lot of times. I was dropped as a child by my sister. She used to carry me, and you know, I was number 8, and I guess they had felt they already had enough. So they conveniently, holy. I was dropped when I was in high school. Well, before high school, I was delivering newspapers in the community. And Sunday mornings, I would have to get up early to deliver the Sunday morning newspaper, sunshine, rain, sleet, or snow. And my mama would sometimes wake her up and make her carry me to get my papers. And of course, she would drop me. When I had to go to high school, I went to Ramsey. She was teaching at McElwain, and it was on her way. And she would drive me right up near the school on 8th Avenue and 18th Street and drop me off. So I've been dropped a lot of times. I've been dropped by friends. I've been dropped by family. I've been dropped by employers. I've been dropped by employees. I've been dropped a lot of different ways. And we can, and you can, you have too. And if you have internet, you have been dropped too. If you have a cell phone, you have dropped calls, and calls have been dropped on you. And so we know what that experience is like. No matter when it happens or how it happens, it always leaves us feeling, as the youth would say today, some kind of way. And that some kind of way is not always a good feeling. Sometimes it can make you feel useless and unvalued. Well, the truth is, that is exactly what happened to this young man in the scripture text for today. His name is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was dropped. He was dropped as a child. He was a little baby, he was probably 5 years old at the time when the word came, according to 2 Samuel chapter 4, that when word came that King Saul, who was his grandfather, and King and Jonathan, who was his father, had been killed in the battle against the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. His nurses understood that this child's life was going to be in danger. And so quickly she ran to the house and gathered up young Mephibosheth, and in her haste to run to try to get away, because the custom in that day was, when the king was killed, the enemies would come in and they would try to destroy anyone who was left of the king's house. And so this nurse was intending to do a good deed, and she grabbed up young Mephibosheth, and in her haste to run with him, she dropped him. And it amazingly broke both of his feet. And he became lame. I mean, they didn't have UAB. They didn't have orthopedic surgery in those days. They didn't have the corrections that you and I are familiar. We wouldn't think much of it today if someone dropped us for real, and our physical body was broken. We would know that we could be fixed. But because of that fear that someone may be after his life, there was no medical attention given to him. So consequently, he grew up lame in both of his feet. He went away from the area of Jerusalem, and he went into the land of Gilead, and he took up residence in a city called Lodebar. Lodebar, physically, was a place where people went. It was a slum. It was a nobody's town. It was the kind of place nobody visited. It was the kind of place people went when they didn't want to be bothered. It was the kind of place when people were depressed. It was the kind of place that's right here, even in Birmingham. Lodebar can be anywhere. It can be anywhere where people want to go to get away from it all. When depression, when others have dropped you, when things come against you, you can feel like you want to be in a place by yourself. That's a real description of Lodebar. But Lodebar physically was a depressed town. It was where nobody really wanted to be, but people who wanted to be there. And this boy wanted to be in a place where he would likely not ever become discovered. This would be somewhere that no one would come looking for a former resident of the palace. This was a perfect hiding place. But you know, if you hang around in a place of depression long enough, you too will become depressed. You can see that this mindset has taken over this young man, Mephibosheth. At least 15 years now, he has lived there. Or he has been in that place. After Saul and Jonathan were killed, of course, David became king in Hebron. And he reigned as king in Hebron for 6 years. And after Saul's other sons were killed, Ishbosheth, that's another one of Saul's sons. Don't confuse the two Seths. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. Ishbosheth was Saul's son. Now he was a cruel man himself, and ultimately he was murdered in his own bed. So it was a crazy time. And things were happening, but David was growing stronger and stronger as Israel's new king. Finally, the people from Judah and all of the areas came and they said, "We want David to be our king." And they made David king over the entire nation of Israel. And of course, he went against the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that David was king, you know, one punk time when David was running from Saul, he went and lived among the Philistines. And so when they heard that he was king, they got mad. So they were going to go to war against David. Somebody should have told them better. David prayed and asked God, "Should I go up against them?" And God said, "Go up." And God delivered the Philistines into the hands of David. So eventually, the land of Israel had peace. So now this is about 15 years that have taken place. And David has conquered Jerusalem. He has made Jerusalem his home. And things are going well for David. And he's feeling good. And then one day he decides, he was asking a question out loud. "I wonder, is there anybody left of the household of Saul?" Saul was David's enemy. Saul had tried himself to kill David because he didn't want David to become king. And He said, is there anybody left of Saul's household that I might show the kindness of God, not for Saul's sake, but for my bosom buddy, Jonathan? You do remember that David and Jonathan, Saul's son, became buddies. It was a rags to riches story. David was a shepherd boy. Jonathan was the king's son. And when David came around, Jonathan took off his royal robe and put them on David. So they became tight. And David never forgot the relationship and the covenant agreement that they had made to look out for one another. And so it was for Jonathan's sake that David was asking the question, is there any left of the household of Saul that I might show the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake? And it was told him that there's a servant of Saul whose name is Ziba, who's one of your servants. And David called in Ziba, and he said, listen, Ziba, he said, I know that you are familiar with Saul's family. Is there anybody left in his household that I might show kindness toward? And he said, yeah, well, Jonathan had a son. Now, you got to know, that perked David's ears. That was probably better than he had even imagined, had hoped that Jonathan, his own bosom buddy, had actually had a son who was still alive. David said, well, where is he? And Ziba said, he's in Lodebar. He's in the household of a man named Machir, or the household of Amiel, in that forbidden town. Now, you got to see the scene. Come on with me. I'm going to be ready to preach this thing in just a minute, but I got to lay this out for you. And so David sends soldiers. He sent all of these royal people. You can see horses and chariots and people dressed in military things, and they going in Lodebar. And probably word got to Mephibosheth, hey, people from the king's palace are here. And you know what Mephibosheth must be thinking. He's been thinking the worst has come. Finally, they're catching up with me. Finally, my life is going to be snuffed out. Because ever since I've been on the run and hiding out in such a place like this, I probably had expected that a day would come when they would come and they would find me and my life would come to an end. And when the soldiers came around, they said, are you Mephibosheth? And he said, I am. He said, well, come with us. Man, I know that was terror in this man's heart. That was nothing but fear in his heart. And all the way from Lodebar to Jerusalem, he has to go not knowing what his fate is going to be. And he arrives at Jerusalem. And the king himself comes out. David. And you know David was a good looking man. And David dressed like a king. He had the crown on his head. He had the robes and all. And he comes out looking like the king. And here's Mephibosheth, afraid and trembling. And when he sees the king, Mephibosheth can't walk. He may have been on crutches if they had such a thing. Falls down. And he does the reverent obeisance before the king. And the king says, are you Mephibosheth? And you know he's hesitant. He's probably stuttering, yeah, I'm your servant. And David says, listen, fear not. I didn't bring you here to hurt you. I didn't bring you here to harm you. I brought you here to do the unthinkable. I'm going to bless you with an unthinkable kind of blessing. Oh God, I wish y'all would hear me today. Let me help you understand here before I go too far with this thing here. David is the representative of Jesus. And we are the representative of in the place that Mephibosheth was in. We live in Lodebar. We go there because we're depressed. We know that we deserve death. We know that we deserve hell. There's nothing inside of us. And we walk every day in fear for our lives. But God comes along. And he says, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And Mephibosheth said, I am Mephibosheth. I'm your servant. And David says to him, listen, he said, I'm fixing to do for you what no one has ever done for another person in this kind of position. The expectancy would have been Mephibosheth would have been put to death. But instead of dying, David is going to restore him. Not only restore him, but give him all of the lands that Saul had when Saul was king. And he's going to make Ziba and his 15 sons and 20 servants to take care of all of the fields and bring the produce to Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth is not going to have to hit a lick at the snake and is going to be able to sit at the king's table and live, here I come, as the adopted son of King David. Touch somebody and say, I want to be adopted. See, our problem is we think of adoption as some kind of second class citizenship. We think that if we are adopted, that it means that we really don't belong, but somebody felt sorry for us. Well, if you look in the scripture passages throughout the Bible, you'll see three examples of adoptions. The first adoption that we see is when Moses' mother discovered that she could no longer hide her little baby out. Hid him for 3 months and then put him in the baskets in the bulrushes along the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter came along the skinny dip and she saw the baby in the basket. And guess what? God made her adopt Moses because God was setting him up. You understand that? The second adoption in the Bible is the story of this girl whose name is Hadassah. I know you don't know that name. Let me put it another way. She's known as Esther. But she was adopted by her uncle, whose name was Mordecai. Are you following me? And here is the third adoption that's in the Bible, and probably the most classic picture of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we just finished a series where we talked a lot about salvation and sanctification, but here is another picture of the benefits that we have as children of God. We have been adopted. We have been brought from nowhere and placed somewhere and promised to be taken care of forever and to be able to eat at the king's table, and nobody or nothing could stop what God wants to do in our lives. I wish y'all would hear me this morning. I'm glad that he adopted me. Because, see, I had been dropped. But thank God I wasn't forgotten. Anybody here ever been dropped? Has anybody ever dropped you and it broke your heart? And it made you feel like you wasn't worth anything. And then you almost wanted to give up. But thanks be to God, if the world drops you, it's all right. Because God in glory will never forget you. And not only will he not forget you, but he promised that I'll never leave you, nor would I ever forsake you. You are somebody. I know sometimes we don't feel like we somebody because we live in Lodibar. And because we live in Lodibar among other depressed people, we can't always see our own future, and we can't always see so clearly what God is up to. But I came with good news. I came with good news. If Pookie dropped you, that's all right. If Vicky dropped you, that's all right. If Thomas dropped you, that's all right. If your employer dropped you, that's all right. If the federal government dropped you, that's all right. You still are not forgotten. Because God in glory sees you. He sees the tears in your eyes. He knows the invisible spaces that are in your life. And he will come to see about you. Anybody here know he'll come to see about you? When nobody else is there, he will. When the house is quiet, he will. When you wake up early in the morning, he will. When you have to ride the streets by yourself, he will. When you come down at the end of the day, he will. Anybody know that he will? Oh, he will. He will come through for you. what it means to be adopted. In Roman law, and that's New Testament time now when I start talking about Roman law. The Roman law required adoption to go through a serious process. A person, see, in the Roman era, New Testament times, was under the rule of their father always. And a person, a woman, or a man, never was relinquished from underneath their father. So it made adoption difficult. And it made it be an intentional process. He was a man who would be a wealthy landowner. And he would want to have someone who would be part to receive his inheritance. He would choose someone that he would want to adopt. Then the first thing he would have to do is to go to that person's father and get permission from that person to release them from their family. And that was a tedious process. I don't have time to explain all that, nor do I want to use the Latin terminology that is necessary to give you the appropriate language for it. But to keep it in plain English, he would have to go through a process. Once the father agreed that this person could be adopted, then there was a whole series of legal ramifications that a person went through. But the bottom line is, when the adoption had taken place, listen. Number one, when a person became adopted, everything that was associated with their past was canceled out. Y'all go hear me after a while. Do you, man, if I don't say nothing else, that's enough for me right there. That makes me shout right there. That the past was canceled. I mean, all debts, all incurrences, that was an erasing of any memory of that person. It was as if that person had never existed. Now, how many would love to start all over and have your past erased? Well, I want you to understand, when you come to Jesus, he erases your past. It's of no consequence to him. He's not interested. Nobody can bring a charge against a person who has been adopted from their past. It's canceled out. All of the benefits of the new household now became available to the one who has been adopted. Did you hear what I said? All of the benefits of the new household has now become available to the person who has been adopted. Come on back to the text. Let me help you, because I need you to see it. I don't want to preach it so fast that you miss it. Listen, Lodebar had been where Mephibosheth had dwelt. But now he has been summoned to Jerusalem. And he will not, somebody said not, return to Lodebar. He will live from that point on in Jerusalem. Everything about his past was canceled out. And now he becomes the recipient of all that the new householder owns. And David says to him, I'm giving you all of the lands and everything that Saul had. I'm giving it to you and giving you something special. You will live with me as my adopted son. And you will eat from my table every day. Oh man, what a word. Do you see the benefit? Do you see who you are? But I gotta help you, gotta help you, gotta help you, gotta help you. I gotta help you understand that this story actually goes in three parts. The first part is this that I've been describing. The benefit that came to Mephibosheth as a result of the covenant that David and Jonathan had. So what I'm trying to help you understand is the benefit that you receive comes as a result of the covenant that Jesus has made. Are you following that? But then I want you to understand the second part of this thing. The second part of this lesson takes place past this text right here. And you do know that David did have, he had a lot of sons. Yeah. You know, he had a lot of sons. Or David was a good looking man. I'm sorry. What he became, all you got to do is read the history here. I'm not making it up. David already had 3 or 4 wives before he became king. And when he became king and he came in Jerusalem, the Bible said that he took on more wives and more concubines, and he had more sons and more children. Okay? So David had another son whose name was Absalom. You know, we talked about that rotten boy one time. And Absalom rebelled against David. And when Absalom rebelled against David, it meant David himself had to leave Jerusalem. And many of his household left Jerusalem with him. But guess who didn't go? Mephibosheth. And this very guy, Ziba, you got to be careful about folk. You got to be careful about folk. Ziba didn't leave either, but Ziba came to David, loaded down with several donkeys of food for David's travel. But he represented to David that Mephibosheth has turned on you. That Mephibosheth, the one you've been good to, the one you blessed, the one that you brought from Lodebar and put in your household and seated at your table, has sided with your enemy. And once Absalom was killed and David returned to Jerusalem, he sees Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said, oh no, I wanted to go with you, but you know, they wouldn't let me get on a donkey because I can't ride. They wouldn't let me go because I couldn't keep up. And as the truth is, your boy Ziba is the one who really was trying to take over my stuff. So because now look at this. David was in conflict. He doesn't know who's telling the truth, whether Ziba or Mephibosheth. But look at what he does. He said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, I'm going to divide it between the two of you. I'm still going to give Mephibosheth his portion. And Mephibosheth, you still stay with me. And I'm going to give Ziba a portion of what belonged to Mephibosheth and let him and his sons have it. But let me tell you what I'm saying. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that Mephibosheth was more in love with his benefactor than with the benefits. He was more in love with David than with the stuff David had. Oh, man, y'all, I'm preaching too fast. I'm preaching fast here. I wonder today, how many are more in love with Christ? Are you just in love with the stuff, the benefits that come as a result of what the Lord gives? And I submit unto us today that there are far too many people who are in love with the benefits and they're not thinking about the benefactor. You know, we want to make God be Super Santa. Even when we pray, we jump down now and we start spitting out all of our wants, needs list. And then we get up and we say, amen, and we sit back and wait on it. And if it doesn't happen, then we get angry with God and we say that he is not true to his word. That's an example of the kind of mindset of people who are more in love with the benefits than with the benefactor. But I see Mephibosheth here is more in love with David. He really was concerned about David. He could not go. He could not be a part of the rebellion. He could not have traveled, even if he wanted to. And so his attitude is, listen, if you want to take some of my stuff and give it, it wasn't mine from the beginning. Hello, somebody. What in the world do you own? You are owners of nothing, but you are stewards of everything. God, when you come into this world, you don't own anything. And when you leave this world, you certainly will not be able to take anything with you. And so why get upset? Because God wants you to distribute some of his stuff to somebody else. Are y'all helping? Y'all hear me this morning? See, when you've been dropped, and you know that you haven't been forgotten, you don't worry about what has come, because what has come is gravy. when you lived in Lodibar, when you live in Sorrow Valley, when you live on the junk pile of life, when you have been treated as a castaway, and this boy Mephibosheth didn't ever think of himself as being all of that. As a matter of fact, when David called him and said, Mephibosheth, and he said, this is your servant, and David started telling him about all of the blessings that he was getting ready to bestow on him, and Mephibosheth said this, what do you mean? What are you doing for such a dead dog as I? This boy knew that he didn't deserve any of it. He understood who he was. He understood what his real plot and lot in life should have been. I wonder today, how many of us really realize that we are the benefiters of God's grace and mercy every day? God doesn't have to let you stand on two. He could have put you on four. But he lets you stand on two. He could have given you something else called instinct. But he gives you conscience, and he gives you mind, and he gives you an understanding, and he gives you all of the attributes that he himself has. Because he values who you are. And he wants your life to be in a different place. So it doesn't matter what somebody else does. Drop me. Some folk need to drop me, and I need to drop some folk. Hello, is there anybody in here this morning who would tell the truth? That you know there's some weight that you need to drop. I was reading in the devotionals. I read devotionals every day, read three or four different devotionals. But in Word for You today, one day, probably about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks now, it was talking about the kind of people you don't need in your life. And you don't need needy people. You know what I mean? You know, are you following that? You'll need people who just need to attach themselves just for the sake of attaching. When I was a boy, they used to call those kind of people leeches. And huh? And they will suck all of the life out of you and add nothing to you but take away everything from you. Now, if you look at these characters here, Ziba and Mephibosheth, Ziba looks more like the needy. He always hung around the palace, even with Saul. He hung around the palace with David. He appeared to support David, but what he really was after was what David had. Are you following that? Those are the kind of people you might need to drop. Understand? That, yes, I've been dropped, but I understand too that I need to do some dropping. Isn't that what the book of Hebrews say, chapter 12? You know what? Let us run this race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But what he talks about before, he said that you got to do something with these weights and sins. You got to drop some of that stuff. So there are some things you need to drop. There are some people you need to drop. But thanks be to God that God doesn't forget. I've been dropped a lot of times. I've had to walk away from some situations with my heart broken. I remember at the height of what I thought was career elevation for me. And I had been told that the position that I sought would soon be mine. And the position opened up and they dropped me. And I can't tell you how disappointed I was, how hurt that brought to me. But God did not forget. He said, don't worry about what they have done, because what I am getting ready to do. I was having this conversation just recently with somebody who is worried today. And I want to talk to anybody who may hear me today, who may be overly concerned about somebody else's dropping you. You may not realize it now, but it may be the very best thing that could have happened. I don't want to hurt nobody, but is there one woman in here who was dropped by somebody you thought was it? And now you praise God. God, thank you. God bless your name. God, you didn't think it at that time because it hurt. But now you know. You know because of what God has done. So I want you to know this morning, today, that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God will not forget who you are, and God will not forget where you are, and God will not withhold from you the things that God intends for your life. Now, I'm not one of these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers, and that's not what I'm suggesting, but I can tell you that the scriptures say that God will give you double for your trouble. I can tell you that. Somebody here knows it's the truth. Somebody here is sitting on a high mountain today because you went through something. You went through some places. You went through some challenges. You went through a series of drops. But thank God today. That's what I want to help you understand. See, your salvation includes what the Lord has. I want you to understand, yes, we talked about you need to live a sanctified life. You need to be a holy life. But you also need to learn how to enjoy this adopted life. It wasn't nothing wrong with being adopted, man. You think, which one do you think Mephibosheth would rather have? Life before David or life after David? And so may I ask you, what would you prefer? Life before Christ or life since Christ? I'd rather have Jesus. Silver or gold. Rather have Jesus than houses or land. Rather have Jesus than anything this old world could afford today. I like David. I like the compassion that he demonstrates. I like the Christ likeness. This is why this man is called a man after God's own heart. Yeah, we know many of the heroics of David, but we miss the compassion of David. This is the stuff that makes you sing. This is the stuff that blesses you, that brings the music out of you. This is the stuff that brings the message out of you. When God blesses you and you can demonstrate compassion and kindness towards someone else, that makes you even more a grateful person. David was that kind of person. Yes, he was a man of war. He fought. I like that boy. He was a combination. I mean, when he was in the arena, he was in the arena. You didn't want to be in the arena with David. But when he opened his heart, he opened his heart in love and mercy and compassion. And Jesus is a better. He is the fulfillment of the type that David was. And if David was strong and mighty as a warrior and loving and compassionate, how much more is Jesus? I don't know how that makes you feel this morning, but listen, I've just decided that there is no other way that I can live. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to go back to Lodibar. I'm grateful that I got out of there. I'm grateful that he pulled me out of there. Go through periodic moments of disappointment. We all do. But there's a difference between disappointment and depression. Disappointment is temporary. Depression and disillusionment comes from staying in that place and allowing yourself to spiral down until you at low D bar. And so I want to keep you out of there. Don't accept that as your place. Accept the palace as your place, the place where the Lord is. Accept the provision that God has for you, because that's where life really takes off. That's where life meets its greatest fulfillment. And I've just learned, I've learned that there is no other way. Anybody know there's no other way that I can live without Christ? And see, I have tried it. I tried it over and I tried it over and I tried it over, but I found out there is no other way that I can live without Jesus. And so I thank you today, Father. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for provision. I thank you for looking beyond me, for regardless of the lameness that's in my feet, how much I stumble and how much I fall and sometimes fall over my own self, that you continue to lift me and hold me and prop me and push me and guide me and direct me. Make it all possible. Yep. Like Mephibosheth, lame in both feet. Can't keep upright for nothing. Thank God for Jesus. And so I want to help somebody this morning who might be struggling with your life. Somebody who might not know that just because you're in a low place that you don't have to stay in that place. Somebody who may have been dropped. I want you to understand that just because you're dropped doesn't mean you're forgotten. You may have been dropped by society. You may be incarcerated today, but you can still be brought to the palace. You may be in a hospital room. You may be in your own home. You may be riding around the street today. You may hear this. I don't know where you might be when you hear it, but wherever you are, I want you to know God loves you and God cares about you. And God will restore you, and God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you are able to ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. So you need to accept him today. I know you might be intimidated. You might be fearful. You might feel like Mephibosheth. What in the world? Are you here to get me? Are you here to take me out? Are you here to call me into account? And God is saying, no, I'm not here to take you out. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to take you to a place beyond what you can imagine. So I want to give you an invitation today. All that you've heard, now it's time for you to respond. If you want Jesus, Jesus is available right where you are. Just pray. Say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to become the man, the woman, the boy, the girl you want me to be. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are the better example of David. And I want you into my life. Whatever your need is today, I want you to know that God is available. If you're looking for a church home and you'd like to unite fellowship with this church, we offer church membership. And we extend to you that invitation as we open now the doors of the church. And anytime during the singing of the song, if you're in this sanctuary, you walk this way, someone will meet you. If you're at home, you can call the membership line, the prayer line, the counseling line. The door's open. Doors of the church are open. Anytime as we sing, doors of the church are open.
Yeah.
That's not a good place. It's not a fun place. And as long as you don't accept that as being your permanent location, then you can know that God will come through for you. I do want you to understand that it's so very important to value your adoption as sons and God of God. It's just another way of saying the same thing. It's just a graphic picture of understanding your relationship with God. You can look at it. You can look at my salvation. You can look at it, my sanctification. But I wanted you to look at it as...
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ. Located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org for an uplifting message. Please join us for the next broadcast.